This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Greetings, citizens! This is Deathspank! You know, when I'm on an epic quest, nothing makes that time fly by like a good old episode of Game Scoop! Scoop! Ha ha!
Come get some. Beware, I live.
IGN Game Scoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Hey, Damon.
Craig Harris is here.
Hi, Damon.
It's been a little bit.
Hi, but he's back.
By popular demand.
Well, you were gone for like 6 weeks.
I was in Germany.
We were in Germany.
And then you found better people to have on the podcast.
There's nobody better, Craig.
I'll take your word for it. You're irreplaceable,
as I say. And very special guest this week, Carl Stewart, Global Brand Director at Crystal Dynamics.
What up, guys?
Welcome, Carl. Thank you for joining us. Carl was just showing me some of the downloadable content for Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. Obviously, that came out about a month or so ago on Xbox Live Arcade and has received a lot of acclaim. It's been very well received. I love that game. It's really, really fantastic. And they're about to launch it on PlayStation 3 next week.
Yes.
And PC.
PC through Steam.
Yeah. And then there's a title update coming next week for Xbox. For the XBLA version.
Yes.
So that'll be the long-awaited online update. So now you can play cooperatively online.
Exactly.
And then that'll come a little bit later down the road for the PS3 version.
Yeah, we're working on it right now, so we hope to be able to announce something pretty soon for PS3 and PC. And then we also have the DLC dropping at the same time.
Yeah, so that also comes next week. And you're telling me that's going to be free for the first 30 days, right?
Yeah, it's almost like a thank you for bearing with us gift. So 30 days free, first DLC, and we have three DLC packs coming, which are all challenge maps from inside the game. We've pulled together all some of the toughest challenges, and then we have two special character packs coming, which
how's that WiiWare version coming?
Slowly.
Once they figure out friends codes, it'll all be down.
That's a good question. What do you think of WiiWare? I think WiiWare has, I mean, Craig.
Oh, it's faltered at this point.
It's
gone away. No, I mean, even Nintendo.
It's a total failure, right?
You go to E3 and there was no
WiiWare
backing
games.
Of WiiWare, and then Virtual Console the same way. I mean, kind of, what is the perception on the development side?
We've had so much of a focus on the three SKUs we're working on, so we haven't really touched on anything to do.
When you started making Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, did you ever consider a WiiWare version or?
Yeah, well, the guys wasn't necessarily WiiWare. It was more just, do we bring it to the Nintendo platform?
Yeah.
And the guys from the creative team who we asked to sort of sit in the room and kind of come up with all the ideas. Some of the original ideas were definitely looking at DS and looking at Wii. And I think after we did, I think it was anniversary where we did a Wii version, and it was received very well, and we did some unique features, but our audience, without a doubt at the time, was all PS3 and 360, and the focus was more about, you know, kind of getting the experience that it was unique to that audience and making sure that we knew what we were doing. So we looked at it, and we thought it was some really cool opportunities, but the focus was definitely on just PC 360 and PS3.
Any look at the 3DS version? You
know? Yeah, we spent some time looking at it. It's a really cool platform.
Yeah.
I think we're excited to see what we can do. But right now, we haven't put our stick in the ground on anything yet. But I think as every developer looks at it and thinks, holy crap,
yeah.
Look at what you can do.
I could see like the isometric perspective being really cool on the 3DS. Especially like a game like Lara Croft, there's so much verticality, and you can often see quite far into the distance. So
yeah.
That could be
well, that's cool. Exactly what we thought when we saw it. Yeah. We were like, imagine. That's cool. Yeah. So we'll see.
Of nice. Course, they just recently announced the PSP2. Like, what is your impressions of it with the unit you guys have?
Did they?
That was it's good.
You always have me too. I was like, they announced it? Then I was like, no, don't. Shut up, Damon.
Did they really?
Greg, you have your ear to the ground with the PS3 community.
Yeah, I do.
The kids going to play Lara Croft on PS3?
I think so. I mean, it's one of the ones that's getting the automatic push for the demo. The demo is getting automatically pushed to PSN plus people. If you have automatic downloads, your system will turn on right away and grab it for you. So I think people are excited, especially because it has been doing so well on Xbox. You know what I mean? There is that hubbub of, well, what is so good about it? I want to see it. I want to play it. So, of course, they have the chip on their shoulder.
Yeah,
we get it late, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, and why is that? I mean, what is it? Just the was it because you had to make Summer of Arcade for Xbox?
Or? Yeah, well, we had the offer of Summer of Arcade from. Microsoft, and with that comes an exclusivity period. And we were building all three games in tandem, so it was more of just a decision to participate in a bigger promotion. And as a result, you know, 4 weeks, and we've taken some flack, but we're
at least it's only a month. At least it's not Castle Crashers.
Crash Crashers. 2 years later.
Well, no, the irony is that Tomb Raider. You know, the home of Tomb Raider really is on PlayStation platform. So we've got
that was the first game I got for my PlayStation back in the day.
That's cool. We've gotten a lot of flack just purely because people feel like that's the home, right? And we're excited to get it out. We can't wait. We've had a lot of good buzz so far leading up to the launch.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
What's your background? How long have you been at Crystal Dynamics?
So I moved to the US like 5 years ago and started working for Eidos. And
you have an adorable accent, by the way.
No, my accent has changed. When I go back to Ireland, I get a lot of flack from family and friends who are like, "Listen to you, Yank." I'm like, "What? No, it's not." So I moved to the US 5 years ago, nearly 6 years ago actually, and started working for Eidos within a couple of months of getting here. So I've been working with the company probably 5 years, and then I moved up to Crystal Dynamics when I finished Batman last year, around October. So as soon as that was out the door, I had the opportunity to move up to Crystal and kind of take a different view on how the company build games. I think in the past, we've always everybody finds it hard from a publishing side to basically, you know, work with a developer as in a sort of an outside agency or outside company and then pick up the title so close to launch. I think with Batman, we learned a lot of lessons in that. I was working with Rocksteady from day one, and that looking at like play as the Joker and challenge maps and sort of how retail mixes in, and really looking at Crystal and looking at the future, it made perfect sense to be able to sort of take the publishing side and take sort of marketing and brand and bring it into the studio. And now we've built an entire team in the studio just to sort of look at the early stages of developing titles, like what needs to be done, where the future is kind of heading for us.
And how'd you get your start? I know a lot of our listeners would like to work in the game industry someday. So how did you make your way here?
Well, I have a weird story where I'm a classically trained animator. I went to college for Walt Disney in Dublin. And when I finished, I didn't want to ever do animation ever again. And I don't think I picked up a pencil since, actually. But what it did was it sparked my interest in how, you know, the likes of Disney used to teach us about sort of merchandising, and that you make a $50 million movie and you can turn it into a $500 million empire plus, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like taking the concept. So I moved into marketing, and I was doing marketing and brand for probably 12 years, and always been an absolute huge gamer. I'm some monster gamer. So when I moved to the US and I had the opportunity to work for Eidos, I jumped on it. So kind of a weird way to get into to games. But I'm very happy.
We've actually had some listeners write in and say they're interested in getting into the marketing side of things recently. So
good. Yeah.
It's good that we have you on. Greg, how about that Dead Rising 2?
How about it? We reviewed it yesterday. Yep. I reviewed it yesterday. You didn't do much. But
I caught
a typo in my strap line as soon as it went live.
That's what I'm here for. I basically am here to point out your mistakes.
That's good. You do a good
which
job.
Which is a full-time job.
Well, he was also going to involve me in the multiplayer
session. Here we go.
Session.
Jesus.
He's like,
Craig,
hey, you want to join us? I'm like, yeah, sure. Here's a copy. Well, wait. I need a copy for myself. I'm like, oh, well.
You're right, ladies
and
gentlemen. We couldn't test multiplayer until the day before the review went live. So the copies got here at 5 o'clock. So I grabbed a bunch of PS3s, started the firmware upgrade, started installing them. Then I had extra Xbox ones, and I was running around trying to get the PS3s to work so I could capture video so I could go home and walk my dog who had to pee so I could then play Xbox at home. So I ran around, I'm doling out copies, and yes, I came to Craig at the very end and said, do you want to play this tonight? And he said, sure. And I started to give him the copy and realized, wait, I need a copy. I've given away three. I need to do, okay. And he called me an offensive term to Jack I heard about later on.
What?
Really?
I'll dress it up since we're on the air, but it was Native American giver. I did not enjoy having that thrown in my face, so I'll tell you right now.
Because you're actually 1/16th Native American.
It's true, it's true. My grandfather, when he got here from America, found a buffalo penny. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just...
DNA just rubbed off on you.
Yeah, Dead Rising 2.
8.0.
I liked it a lot.
You gave it an
8.0. I liked it a lot. I think it's going to be a very interesting one when everyone in the office starts playing it, because I think a lot of people are going to Jim Riley wanted me to go higher. Jim Riley would have scored it higher. He said he was a big Dead Rising 1 fan.
That's why we don't let Jim Riley rate games.
I know. Colin enjoys the game a lot too. He thought I should have gone a lot lower. Hillary came in today and after playing an hour and said, when's this game get fun? It's like, all right.
So that's a very Hillary thing to say.
I have a feeling that you're going to see a lot of different opinions across the board. I loved the original Dead Rising. I thought it had a lot of problems. I think they've solved some of them here. Dead Rising 2, my main gripes with it would be that there are still loads every time you leave an area, and they're a bit lengthy, like 16, 17 seconds. And then on top of that, the frame rate's not so hot. But it's still running around killing zombies. I think the combo weapons are really, really cool. I enjoyed the crazy bosses as usual. I mean, it's more of the same in a way, but they've added enough there to where it wasn't like, it's just Dead Rising again, I thought. It was interesting.
What was I going to say? Case Zero came out a couple weeks ago beforehand and was very successful. So, people are expecting Dead Rising. That will predict sales of Dead Rising 2.
I think it would. I mean, you know... Case Zero, I gave a 6.5. And in there, I said, it's fun. My problem is that, you know, there's a lot of pop-in. The loadings I thought were really bad there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bad. And, it didn't look really good, you know? But in there, I said it was fun. And, you know, I still think that's a great idea. I've off the record, I know some other people are doing something similar coming up here. You know what I mean?
Scoop!
Yeah. Scoop! And that's a great. I think it's a great idea because it's one of those things where if you're into Dead... Like, if they put out all these demos, right, for games that... You're going to maybe get, Dead Rising 2, it wouldn't make sense to put out a regular demo, right? I already know how Dead Rising 2 is going to work or whatever. But to put out a Case Zero where it's like, it's an exclusive story, you can start.
But you pay for that, right?
You can, five bucks, a minimal fee. That's what I'm saying. I'd much rather have a piece of bite-sized content where I'm going to be able to do something and carry over that progress to the main game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A hook to say a month out, here you go, try this, you know, get going, and this is how it's going to flow in. I like that idea.
Yeah, so, Carl, since you're working on a downloadable title, do you watch stuff like Case Zero?
I watch it very closely. I think it's a great concept.
Yeah.
I think it was really cool. I know some of the guys that are working on it, and there was we were at E3. They were showing it to me, and I think the cool thing is to be able to dip into that world earlier, before the game starts.
Exactly,
so it kind of gets you in the moment, right, in the buzz. And to be able to carry over stuff, that's huge as well, right? Yeah. That's great interaction between the two platforms.
It is. I think you make a good point. It's much cooler than a demo of the game.
Right, here's the level that... Because inevitably, when we see something early, right, and then we get to play the game, you get to that part of that whatever you've already played, and you're like, all right, now I got to go left, I got to go right, I got to do this, this guy's going to say that.
It's true.
I thought it was cool.
And I think the big thing is that quality can't diminish. You still have to have good quality.
Mm.
And I think, as you said, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But I think the more and more we see it, people will start getting better and better and better.
Totally,
and
right.
Use their own engine and make it feel like it is a portion of the game and
but
not a spin-off.
What's the perception of the users, the people that are downloading it, or at least saying, is it they might have ripped it out of Dead Rising 2 just to do this so they sell it for a little bit more? Does it feel
I think
that
the way the game, the way Case Zero felt and played and everything, I think it was very clear this was not going to be.
It was made separately completely, not something ripped out of the original product.
Because there were a lot of weapons in there that you had to explore to find. What K-Zero was in a lot of ways was a great introduction to somebody who had never played it. Like Colin, you know, just this is his first time playing Dead Rising. So he played for like an hour or two the night before I reviewed it and came in the next day and he's like, so I don't get it. He's like, I can't get around all these things. I'm getting beat by ball. I'm like, no, you need to, you know, the whole point of that game is to play, level up, come back and do it all over again. You know what I mean? Like see every ending, see, be more powerful. In K-Zero, you know, it's an hour-long game,
yeah.
Like for a playthrough. So then you'd go through, and then you'd start again and get a new ending and do this, and then you'd explore and find new weapons and stuff. So it was a really cool introduction, I thought. Just, you know, flawed in a technical level.
Little Big Planet 2.
Can't wait. Game of the year 2010, Damon.
it's been pushed back. I'm sorry. supposed to be out in November, delayed to January.
All right.
So how is that significant for the PS3's holiday season?
I mean, I think so.
You think so?
I mean, it's one of those things we had a conversation on Beyond yesterday about it of is the holiday season super important anymore? You know what I mean? Obviously, it's super important. Jack was trying to make the case that game developers and publishers are now looking at us not as children anymore, where everybody has to buy the game for, you know, you have a wish list at the year.
You know, at the end of the year.
Now gaming's being pitched to adults, so a game coming out at a weird portion, you know, 2000.
Adults still have gift-giving seasons, though, you know?
I know. No, I still think it's a big deal. I mean, now they're resting completely on Gran Turismo 5 as far as, like, their first party, here's what we have that's going to be rad.
Is that all they have, first party for the Christmas season?
Sly Collection. Some more Move stuff, probably. I mean, Move is out. But again, that we didn't think any of those launch titles were amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? iPet's the highest rated one with an 8 from us, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'll, you know, it's, what's their system seller now? I mean.
Yeah, for the holiday season.
Kids are good at looking ahead, though, so. Oh no, Little Big Planet got delayed, but Dead Space, or whatever, you know, Infamous is next year and yada yada, so still ask for a PS3, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Media Molecule, developer of Little Big Planet 2, I like their quote, their explanation. They say, we've all been working like powered-up space ninjas, and we're almost there, but because we love what we've made and we love our little sack friends, and most of all, we love our fans out there, we couldn't let you all get together until we knew we were giving you the best experience imaginable. Well, so, Carl, you have experience with this sort of thing. I mean, like, you have, like, I mean, like, what is that a long conversation you have internally when you're trying to debate, like, whether to delay a game or whether to delay a feature like online co-op in Lara Croft? Is that something you, like, really...
We do.
Yeah.
You really, really do, because you've spent so much time. And you know, you got to be careful as well, because the guys have been working on it get tired, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You've been in crunch mode for so, so long, and people have been passionate and putting in so many hours that when a decision like that comes around, it's not taken very lightly. And we do the same thing, like with Batman. You know, I remember all my ads said May, and then pushed to June, and then it was like August. And ultimately, it's about quality and about you know, making a promise very early on about the sort of the quality bar. And I think every single developer and every publisher has to do it. And I think I wish, obviously it's tough to do it, but I wish more people would do it.
You know, totally,
because I think
100%.
A lot of people put
would delay
out
their
of,
games.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think
I mean,
when it's ready, right?
Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate that certain things like, you know, online functionality is delayed, and that some people may have said, "Well, we'll hold the entire game," but you know, it depends. Our game was built for offline co-op and single player primarily, and we decided, you know, halfway through the cycle that this would be awesome online. So for us, it was a bit tougher because we had a goal set straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a lot of games that do get delayed, I think it's always done for the right reason.
But wouldn't that something like that itself delay a game? Like when you decide to rip out a certain mode and hold that for the next round, and it's like you had still have to test that. You've totally taken a chunk out of the game. Now you have to test it and all that stuff. Doesn't that add more?
Well, I think that's my point. Is that we started making Guardian of Light with single player and co-op. So we had built the foundations of a game of that, and then through focus testing and research, everybody was like, "Wow, holy cow! I can take that online. I can play it with my friends." Like, and as I was saying to you earlier on, it's the first time that the community will have really played with each other and spoken to each other over voice. So to us, it was an entire new system that we built on top. And there was a moment in time where we realized internally that the same quality wasn't being seen in the online that was being seen in the offline and the single player. So I think it's a tough decision. I'm glad if it's the right move for those guys. You know, the game will be better for it.
Mm.
I think it's always hard I'm a big little Big Planet fan, so take your time.
Exactly, yeah. How much would that suck, right? I mean, as ambitious as that game is, if they did, like, well, we're going to do it, and it came out, and it was, like, broke, and like, oh, God.
And I think that is hugely ambitious, that game.
Yeah, oh,
like,
my God,
this is,
yeah.
This is beyond...
It's a really big game,
this is, this is in the, like, stratosphere of ideas.
Yeah.
Like, when that first trailer came out, I was like, oh, my God.
Have you seen
God.
It? Like, have you seen... You had the chance to four out then?
No, I haven't. I haven't at all. But if Media Molecule are listening, I want Lara Croft.
Yeah, yeah, I played it at Comic-Con, and they had the music generator working, and, like, the stuff people... Like, they were doing us, like, oh, my... Like, it's so intimidating in a way. You know what I mean? I'll never
I find it intimidating, yeah.
It's one of those things... It took me a week, remember, during Christmas break to make my very basic level, and, yeah. like, I will not be able to do this, anything they're doing here.
And I think if people... I think it's very easy to turn around and cry foul and say, hey, why are you delaying it? But I think that's a really ambitious project.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who got in under the hood to see that would appreciate the rationale behind it.
What's there's a famous quote about that. So a delay is temporary, but a bad game is bad forever, or
exactly.
something like that, right? who said that? Somebody like a famous. It's like Nolan Bushnell or somebody said that, right?
I think it was Jeremy Dunham.
Yeah, Jeremy Dunham said that. Yes.
I was going to claim that.
My favorite news story of the week. Sony warns of fake exploding PS3 controllers.
Yep. Jim had asked me if he should write that. I'm like, yes, the headline alone will sell that.
It's fantastic. Sony is warning about counterfeit PlayStation 3 controllers. Now, what confuses me, counterfeit to me sounds illegal. Counterfeit has to deal with
someone
fraud.
Someone is selling a controller that looks exactly like the Sony controller.
But how is that being sold in stores if they're counterfeit? Like, where are these controllers available?
Yeah.
I think it's knockoff stores.
So is it like some shop in Chinatown here where they're selling a $5 PlayStation 3
exactly.
controller that explodes?
It's not like GameSpot or GameStop has
a bunch
of them.
So you have to, like, this is like back alley stuff. This is like black market stuff.
I mean, does it not say in there?
It doesn't say where these controllers are available. Because I actually want to get some cheap PS3 controllers.
Really?
I think the risk is worth it if they're cheap enough.
They're warning you of it, but do they explain how to know whether it's a counterfeit or not?
No, they...
There is extremely boring...
It won't be an officially licensed Sony product, you know.
It's not going to be in that bubble pack.
So here's a question. So are they saying that there are controllers that look exactly like a PlayStation 3 controller sold as a Sony-made PlayStation 3 controller? Or are they just saying, oh, there are third-party controllers
out there?
They
say they look identical in appearance.
Okay, so they're saying that, don't buy third-party controllers.
Well, they are saying Sony issued a consumer alert this week. So Sony says... it is possible that some counterfeit product may ignite or explode, resulting in injury or damage to the user. SCEA advises consumers to be cautious when buying PlayStation 3 controllers from uncertain sources, as the quality, reliability, and safety of counterfeit products is uncertain and in some cases may be dangerous. So they urge consumers to only use first-party genuine PS3 controllers,
so
which of course is
it is
like,
a knock against the third-party controllers market out there. Then,
well, they
not
they,
really. I mean, they're not saying don't trust Mad Cats. I mean, Jim Riley has a very boring YouTube video of the knockoff controller compared to the real controller, and it does look identical.
Okay.
Like all the thing, the guy who has it's like, yeah, you know, I got it. It wasn't syncing, and I could tell something was wrong because the LED lights are raised, and here this doesn't feel smooth. But I mean, it looks spot on.
I gotcha.
They just released a pink DualShock 3. Go get that. The PS3
people. They've been advertised. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The Kirby color.
Yeah.
Now, only if I can get my wife to play games with me. I'll buy her for Christmas.
She won't play games with you? She's not
a huge gamer, no. Yeah. She laughs at me because it's as we all know, right? They all go to bed at 11 o'clock and we go, good night, babe.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep,
you crawl into bed at 4 in the morning.
Sony is planning to introduce software updates to disable these counterfeits and unlicensed controllers.
Swish.
Craig, how's that Donkey Kong Country Returns?
Ah, I saw it earlier in the week. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was the first time that we saw it since E3, which and Gamescom. Gamescom had the E3 build, so I played it like twice. Hmm. This is the first time I actually could see more going on in that game, and they're doing some pretty cool stuff. I wouldn't say it's as ambitious as what Retro did with back in the day with Metroid Prime or anything, but it's a great representation of what it was on the Super Nintendo, but just now in real time.
Yeah.
So there's some cool stuff going on.
And that comes out this year, right?
Yeah. It's November 17th, I think.
That and Kirby.
Kirby comes out the October 17th.
It's just right around the corner.
And I think we're going to do the playthrough Kirby on our charity thing.
Oh, good. So that'll be perfect.
Yeah. Extra Life. tinyurl.com/extra
Let's remind everybody what Extra Life is all about.
Extra Life is a 24-hour gaming marathon benefiting the Children's Miracle Network. All of your favorite IGN editors will be staying up for 24 hours in the IGN offices on Saturday, October 16th from 8 a.m. till
8 a.m.?
The 24 hours you could do if it started at noon, but the 8 a.m., that's going to be the ball buster. 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., we'll be online online playing games. We'll be streaming from our office, so you can join us in certain games, or you can tell us what you want us to see play. Before then, you can scope out and give us donations at tinyurl.com/extraign.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Are you still embargoed on this Kirby vehicle?
Yes.
You told us off the air, and it was pretty epic.
Yeah, we listened with you.
There is another Kirby event happening next week, so maybe that's when they'll lift the embargo.
Okay. We found out some information on the 3DS, like the specs.
Yeah, specs.
Of the 3DS, right?
Lots of chipsets, memory stuff. Like apparently, has 64 megabytes of internal memory, but also 1.5 gigabytes of internal storage, which is kind of low to today's standards, but yeah, way bigger than what Nintendo's given. I mean, the Wii only has 512 megabytes right. of storage. The DSi only has 256 megabytes of storage. So this is kind of a big jump for Nintendo to give that much storage for downloadable stuff or for game saves or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool. But it's a pretty powerful system. Not nearly as, say, powerful as like a, you know, an iPhone or whatever. Like it's still kind of like a generation behind everyone else, but yeah, that's Nintendo's way, right? You know, it's like make it cheap, yeah, make it profitable, yeah, and make it, you know, acceptable in this current generation.
Yeah,
even if it's kind of,
and make just enough to keep selling out.
Exactly. You know, like the, you know, from what I understand, like, you know, back in the Game Boy Advance days, like, you know, that system cost $100 or whatever. They made, you know, they could make it for $5. So they make a lot of money on their handheld stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Wow.
So expect the same thing with the 3DS. It's got pretty displays.
Yeah.
But that's not going to drive up the cost of the system too much. They're always about money.
What do you think about the release now?
So next week they're going to have an event, a press event in Japan. They're going to announce apparently they're not going to allow foreign.
Is Jack guys. Going?
No. So we have a
Sam Claiborne going?
No. We have a foreign yes. No. We have a foreign correspondent going. And he's going to cover the show, but apparently they don't allow foreign press, you know, like IGN is, you know, US press. They're not going to allow US press to go to this event cuz it's only for Japan. Okay. They're going to announce the stuff on September 29th, where we'll find out price, release date, colors, games, okay, all that fun stuff.
That's just next week.
Yeah.
What are the odds of them saying the release date is September 30th?
Zero.
I
am putting myself down and saying it's going to be the first week of November in Japan. Not going to come out this year in the
spring.
Maybe. Yeah, because I have an event to go to next week from Nintendo, but it has nothing to do with 3DS. Yes. So I don't think Nintendo of America has anything set up for 3DS related stuff while this is happening in Japan.
Yep. I think we've officially started the fall gaming season. There's lots of big games coming out. Next week, we'll have reviews of Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, and Guitar Hero, Warriors of Rock. So look out for those. And
Front Mission Evolved.
Front Mission Evolved.
Thank you. Jeez. A desk away, slaving away in these mechs. Come on.
So that's all coming next week. Very good news, listeners. We've been talking. A lot of listeners always ask us how they can get old episodes of GameScoop, and it's kind of a hassle going through them all. But
isn't it just a list on iTunes?
No,
they only do like 15.
Like the most recent 15 are on iTunes.
So what happens to the rest? They just toss them.
Yep.
I don't know. Ask Matt Casamassina. What does he do with them?
Stores them under his desk.
But Overlord of the Superfans, Matt Jones.
Matt Jones.
This is what makes him Overlord of the Superfans. He created an account on MyIGN, GameScoop Archive. GameScoop Archives, I think plural. He's writing blog posts on there where he's linked every single episode starting from number one. So I think he's up into the 30s now. So very cool. We really appreciate that work from Matt Jones.
So each blog post is just a description of podcast?
No. Each blog post has like 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Just link. You can play them right in your browser or you can download them, the MP3s. So it's very cool. Yeah.
Power of WordPress allowing you to play it in the browser.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. If you're a newish listener, you can start all the way back at the very beginning, episode one in 2000.
Where we were sitting on, like, had the microphone in our hands,
yes,
or on a tripod.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly. 4 years ago, yeah, we've been running this podcast.
Those were the days.
Okay, our code giveaway this week comes by way of listener Adam Jenkins. He has a code for the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer beta on PlayStation 3. These need to be entered at the official site, so it's assassinscreed.com/VIP beta. One more time, assassinscreed.com/VIP beta. After you follow a few steps, you will enter this code. ACB-B6M-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3- 2BO28ZP. Good luck. Whoever gets the code gets into the Assassin's Creed multiplayer beta. Make sure you send good vibes to Adam Jenkins. He actually has more codes to give away, but I'm not going to read off a whole bunch of codes here. But apparently he gives these codes away on Twitter, so if you want to follow Adam Jenkins on Twitter, maybe you haven't done the chance to win some more codes. And while you're at Twitter following Adam Jenkins, you might as well follow me as well. Let's check in with the listeners. This is Tom Ratliff. He says, my birthday is next week. For as long as I can remember, I've gotten some video game-related gift. I think my fondest memory was getting Super Mario Bros. 2, Friday the 13th, and Mega Man 2, all for the same birthday.
That's a nice birthday.
Knock Friday the 13th all you want, but that game was great and scared the crap out of a 7-year-old.
Really?
What? Yeah, okay. 7-year-old. That game was not good.
I think he just wanted to be scared, so he forced himself to be scared.
Oh, it's Jason!
Those 8-bit sprites.
What are your fondest birthday memories? I'll be 28, by the way. I think I got the Nintendo 64 and Mario 64 for my 19th birthday. That was pretty great.
Trying to think. I don't remember getting any games on my birthday, but I remember getting games on my parents' birthday. Like, they will buy the games for each other, but they're obviously getting it for us. If that makes any sense
cute.
To you? Yeah. So, but I don't remember getting any games on my birthday. Mainly because my birthday, well, it's next week, but it fell in the beginning of the school year.
Scoop.
Well, it always fell in the beginning of the school year, and I was a terrible student, so I always get punished, and they would take my game system away. So it was kind of an encouragement. But you know, my parents' birthday, you know, later in the year or even in the summer. So yeah.
Any gaming?
Yeah,
memories?
One time I got World Series Baseball on Sega Genesis. Uh-huh. I was very excited about that. Played that quite a bit, and then another one I got the Sega Saturn.
Nice. Got the Sega Saturn for your birthday?
Did not pan out. It was a good memory. Good memory at the time. That fizzled out in the end.
Yeah. How about you, Carl? Any gaming birthday memories?
I can't remember what age I was, but it was when the 64 came out, and my mom bought it for my birthday. Well, she bought it about a month early, and she hid it in her bedroom. And I found it.
You found it? You were sleeping around?
When I was babysitting every night, I'd take it out of the box really carefully and plug it in. And
that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was playing like F1 for an entire month before my birthday. And then the day my mom gave it to me, obviously I looked at the box and it was battered, which never be paid any attention. Which I thought it was a genius because I was like playing through the game very easily.
Awesome. You were just like I was trying it.
Like I was a genius. And I had to tell her afterwards about 4 years later.
I was going to say,
to this day, I still feel really bad because that was a surprise. I had to act like I was like, oh my God, thank you. I'm bored. I've been playing. Can you make me a new game?
That's awesome. This is Ryan Burke. You recently asked how people listen to the podcast, as well as mentioned great places to eat in Kansas City. I'm from Kansas City. Yeah, Greg went to school around there. Well, I kind of do both. On the weekends for a second job, since teaching first grade pays zero money, I deliver pizza for Minsky's.
Yeah, he does.
While driving, I listened to the podcast. I was shocked when you mentioned Minsky's pizza. I agree, it's the best pizza in KC. Anyway, I have a question about why Greg always mentions MU, but never gives the Royals or Chiefs any love. Never mind that they both stink right now. You got to stick with your teams during the bad times.
Yeah, I get this question a lot. People seem to skip chapters, and it's hard. You know, you hear me for an hour a week. But I went to the University of Missouri, which is in the middle of Missouri, Columbia, Missouri. However, I grew up in Chicago, so any professional sports allegiance are with the Chicago Bears. And then, if you want to talk about college, I'm with Mizzou. I think both the Royals, Chiefs, Rams, and Cardinals all suck. They're just terrible teams filled with bad people.
Filled with bad people?
Yeah. My favorite was right after the Cardinals lost the World Series, Albert Pujols came to a Mizzou game, and it was a basketball game. Our whole shtick being the Antlers was being very loud and obnoxious. And so we were all, like, it was dead quiet, and he was, like, I don't know, across the corner of the stadium from us. But like really close, so if you yelled, he could hear it.
Okay.
And so one of my friends who was from KC yelled at the St. Louis player Albert Pujols, "Hey Pujols!" And Pujols turns around with this giant grin and looks right at him and goes, "Nice showing in the World Series!" And Pujols' face went.
This is Warner. Hey Scoopcast, I just got into playing first-person shooters. I wanted to know which ones would be the best to get, because whenever I ask a friend, they always tell me to get Call of Duty, but I want something different.
Different? On what system?
He doesn't say.
Yeah.
So we can each pick one. If
I was going to say you should get the orange box because Half-Life games are the absolute best first-person
shooters.
And
it's got Portal in there, too. It's kind of a shooter.
That's kind of
You're
shooting little holes in a wall. That's how I would describe Portal.
If he's not like if it doesn't excite him, the normal first-person shooter like Call of Duty, I'm the exact same way, and I really dug Killzone. Like, something about that game's art style and the way it played out and stuff was really fun, and the multiplayer's cool.
Hmm. You play any first-person shooters, Carl?
Of course, Call of Duty.
You're a Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
You gonna play Black Ops? You excited for Black Ops?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I didn't get to finish 2, so
really?
I feel like I need to go back and do that first. But if he's just starting Half-Life, without a doubt, fond memories of that game.
So good. This is it is good, Greg. Greg doesn't get the appeal.
You don't like Half-Life? I'm sorry. I don't knock it's a very specific Greg Miller problem. I totally am with Damon. He says it's an amazing story. I back Damon.
This is Kramer Solinsky. He's wants to talk about Howard the Duck.
Oh, what a great movie.
You seen Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck. Wow, blast from the past.
Yeah. We were talking about this a few episodes ago. He says, "Hey guys, just a few funny notes about your episode a while back that happened to mention Howard the Duck. I listened to your podcast at work to block out the annoying sounds of the salespeople on the phone all day, and just started listening recently. I've been listening to some older episodes and came across the Boob Flash episode today, which was
That PSN show that Sony put up an anime
thing.
It was for free. It turned out it had bare breasts.
Yes.
They had to pull it down. It was a big thing.
And I was curious about this Howard the Duck character you were laughing vigorously about. Vigorously laughing. you did that right as Carl was taking a drink.
I'm sorry.
Barfed up my wig. We probably got our first spit take on Game Scoop there.
I proceeded to Google Howard the Duck, misspelled duck, accidentally wrote another word. It happened to be just at that moment that my boss had walked by my desk to see what I was working on and saw Howard the F on my browser. He quickly inquired about it. When I told him it was a mistake, it actually was supposed to say Howard the Duck. Without even wondering why in the world I would be searching Howard the Duck on Google, he gave me a very empty gaze and said, "That movie got my balls to drop when I was a kid. That's all you need to know."
Nice. Nice. I'm glad we bonded with your boss there.
Just thought you guys might enjoy that story, as well as when I heard you talk about the scene when Howard goes through some walls and sees the naked duck in the tub. This happens too. You see duck boobs in Howard the Duck. I decided to put a scene of that sort into the first game I head up when I get into the game industry. I'm going into a game design course in Vancouver this October, so you should expect it within the next 5 or 6 years. We will look forward to that.
We're playing Call of Duty 12.
There's going to be duck boobs in Call of Duty 12. This is Thomas. I just finished Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. I must say that even though there have been a crapload of Spider-Man games, most have not been great, yet I've played every single one. I cannot believe how funny that game was. That game funny?
Yep.
We all know that Peter Parker is supposed to be funny, but it has never really translated well in games. But those dudes over at Beanox really had a winning script writing team. Even the ending credits are funny until the end. What do you guys think? Do you feel the same? What other games have you not only laughed at, but were actually impressed by how well they were executed? So he's just asking about funny games. There have been funny games recently. The Death Bank games are very funny. The second episode of Death Bank came out this week, created by Ron Gilbert from the Monkey Island series. Those games are really funny.
Oh, Strong Bad series is pretty funny too.
Oh yeah, that was yeah. You still talk to those, guys?
He was supposed to meet me at E3, but he kind of bailed.
What an ass.
Yeah.
So. I wish they would make more. Of the
Well, they're doing they're now doing that poker game that has Strong Bad in it.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, that's a downloadable game. I guess Telltale's doing is a poker game. It's a single player poker game, but it's got Strong Bad. It's got the dude from Team Fortress.
Telltale is making a poker game?
Yeah,
that's real. They do point and click stuff.
Well, I know, but they're also they got that puzzle game coming out too, right?
Yeah. That's true. Puzzle Agent. Yeah. Like that sound, yeah. Also, Double Fine. Those guys make really funny games. Brutal Legend was really funny, and Costume Quest comes out next month.
Is it gonna be funny?
Yeah, it's good. This is Mike. Hey guys, my name is Wolfgang Bang.
I don't think so, Mike. No.
I was just wondering what your favorite Zelda game is. Personally, mine is Majora's Mask, just because it switches up the formula and has the best story. The time travel mechanic in that game is genius, and the amount of side quests is probably the most in any Zelda game. Yeah, I would agree with you. Majora's Mask is also my favorite Zelda game.
I would say, you know, it's probably only my favorite. I wouldn't say it's the best one. Minish Cap was probably the most fun I've had in a Zelda game, yeah.
Mine was Ocarina of Time. For me, that was my first Zelda game, being a Sega fanboy for the first part of my life there. So it wasn't, you know, tried and true yet to me. So it was really, really cool to do the time travel, Sword and Stone stuff.
Favorite Zelda game?
I'm going to put my hand up and say I have never played a Zelda.
Really?
Wow. During that entire era, I was a FIFA boy.
Oh, wow.
So, all I did was play soccer or football.
You know, the Zelda
so I feel
era,
like I need to go back.
The Zelda era is still happening, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so is FIFA. Yeah.
It's true. Which is highly addictive. But no, I said to you, you're right. There's two or three things that I need to jump on. And I've vowed this year, myself and a colleague, we're gonna do Final Fantasy from Final Fantasy 1 all the way through.
Wow. No way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of, and,
all
and
in one
I'll
year?
Come back to you. I'll come back to you in like 3 years and go,
what's about there?
But no, I vowed to start from very first, because I've played sort of segments all the way through, but I'm thinking about doing the same thing with Zelda.
Now, are you going to do the remakes or are you going to do the originals?
I would love to do the originals if I can make sure my system can play all the way. So I may play wherever I can get my hands on once they're true to the original.
It'd be hard to. I was going to say, if you're going to like play through all the Zelda games, it'd be hard to like find all the like the Game Boy Color ones.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of systems in work, a lot of old school systems. So if I can,
especially when there were two,
eBay,
there were two versions of a game: Oracle of Ages, Oracle
exactly.
of Seasons.
Didn't Capcom do that one?
Yeah, well, the flagship did that. Yeah, so okay. Capcom probably developed it flagship, but yeah, it was a script from Nintendo.
Yeah. Mike also wants to know our opinions on Skyward Sword. He says, I hope they don't base the entire game just around motion controls because that would make it crap.
Well,
and no one wants to play crap.
It is. I mean, they're that's what they're designing around, the idea of motion controls.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still going to be a traditional Zelda game.
So far, I have not seen anything about Skyward Sword that
it needs work.
Impresses me.
It definitely needs work.
Agreed.
This is Crocodilio.
Great name.
Since God of War 1 and 2 have been released on the PS3 in HD, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus soon to follow, do you think there's any chance Microsoft would re-release the first two Halo games in HD? I only played half of the first game and none of the second game, but I might be willing to check them out if I could play them in HD and earn some achievements.
If Microsoft loves money, they would.
I would say that's very likely that would be their Halo release for next year.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I could totally see that. Yeah. Totally see that happening.
Yeah. I'll go out on a limb and say no then.
You're just being contradictory.
No, well, what is it? Does that not play into the Bungie thing at all?
Like, well, it doesn't have
Bungie's
to be Bungie.
Not making any Halo games anymore.
Isn't Bungie now?
Did they make the first two?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bungie made everything up until now.
Microsoft owns it.
Microsoft owns
the Halo franchise. Some other group to do it?
Yeah.
I know,
I think that's what they're afraid of.
Halo 2 is available for download too, right? Can't you... You can't. That's not one of the ones you can download.
Like, you mean like games on demand or something?
Yeah.
Maybe, but it's not in HD, or it's not. It's the graphics are the original. You know,
okay.
spiff up the graphics, add achievements, release them on in one box in retail. Okay. I could totally see that happening.
Matt Jones, write this one down. Whatever number this is that I'm predicting, no.
Okay, you heard it here. Let's see. This is Peter. Hello, Scoop Crew. Lovers of games, harborers of Canadian criminals.
Anya?
Today, I submit to you irrefutable evidence that Greg is, in fact, Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Number one, Greg loves Back to the Future. He also loves Teen Wolf because he loves Michael J. Fox, a Canadian.
Okay. True. I like Family Ties as well.
Greg is very fond of Charles Ognette.
True.
Canadian. Greg drove through a snowstorm to get to IGN because he's Canadian and used to copious amounts of snow. And number three, Greg loves Superman. Superman was created by a Canadian gentleman named Joe.
Okay. Well, there's another guy, too.
What's that?
There's another guy, too, but whatever. Yeah. We can overlook him, I guess.
So I submit to you, GameScoop, that Greg is hiding the secret from you all. Deport him back to us in Canada, preferably on a cheese raft.
No, I'm not going to go there.
You're not going to get
I don't like maple syrup that much.
That's why you left.
So you like Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, don't you?
Did you ever see,
who doesn't like Michael J. Fox?
Did you ever see the movie Midnight Madness?
I don't know.
It was kind of like It's a Mad, Mad World, but like it was done in the 80s. It was so 80s. It was...
So
yeah,
80s.
It was basically always on the HBO late night thing.
Yeah,
always played the Midnight Madness. It was such crazy. You should look it up on Netflix.
Okay,
it's Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox is in this movie.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not Canadian. I know how to deal with snow because I lived in Chicago.
Yeah, people in the Midwest know how to deal with snow. Basically,
you're just our hat Canada. Get over it.
This is Ryan. What do you think of all the recent Bioshock Infinite coverage? The game won't be released until 2012, and yet there's already gameplay videos, teaser trailers being shown. Do you think they're building the excitement around the game too far in advance? What's the advantage of starting the campaign so soon?
How lazy can Geddes be that he's just writing in questions rather than coming to be on the show?
I know. Well, he's still in Japan, but he wanted to participate, you know. I'm also wondering, considering the amount of content Irrational is willing to show, could the game be released ahead of schedule? Well, so this is something that you deal with, Carl. Like I don't know. Is it? You think a game that's coming out 2 years from now, is it too early to be showing this sort of stuff?
I think there's a point where it is too early.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, you've also got to get that circus rolling, right?
Yeah.
You got to get awareness and make sure that, I think it's getting harder and harder. I think you've got to start so early now that people sort of see the buzz. So retail is obviously a huge component. And mm-hmm. I think with so many games coming out, you almost need to be able to be in front of retail as early as possible, showing how big this is going to be for them to look at it in 12 months time and think, I'm going to make it a big part of, you know, my buy. So I think there is a fine line about being too early. Right,
yeah.
I think, you know, anything 2 years is probably too early. I think if Bioshock Infinite is March 2012, then yeah. they're probably on a good timeline. But I think if it's September,
yeah,
it's probably a little bit early for my liking. But big titles, you've got to start a bit earlier. I think the days of starting 8 months before or even 12 months before and hoping to make that big blockbuster and make sure that enough people know about it. There's a lot of competition for the airwaves right now. So, you know, you got to shout as loud as possible. But it's an interesting way. It's an interesting approach to announcing a game, I have to say. I've been watching it very closely.
I think we first saw Lara Croft at GDC this year.
Yeah.
So that was like 4 or 5 months out, which is actually a long lead time for a downloadable game.
For a downloadable game. And I think everybody was excited to see what Crystal had been doing for such a long period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was long enough because we didn't need to get, you know, I love retail, but we didn't need to get retail behind us as much as it was a DLC game. So it was more about driving awareness. So it's a complete, you know, different kettle of fish when you're looking at a retail SKU. You
so
need to drive awareness.
When's the next Gex game coming out?
I don't know, but I'll let you know when I find out.
That was on 3DO, wasn't it? Or,
yeah, originally 3DO, yeah, but then there was a bunch of 3D versions too. But I used to work with, I think, the original producer on that, Lyle Hall. Back when I was doing beta testing, but yeah, he left. I think he was left Virgin to create that character.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still hugely popular. We still get a lot of emails from people asking us, when's the next one coming out? But it's an interesting question to back to you guys is what you think of Bioshock starting so early, right? Because you deal with it.
Yeah.
You're constantly looking at games, you know, that are coming 6, 12, 18 months. So is it too early?
Or no, I mean, that doesn't bother them because now we get to, I mean, we'll be covering that game for 2 years, you know. I mean, the earlier we can find out about a game, the earlier we can start coverage on it, you know. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, plus they'll go into blackout now.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, that's true. We're not going to see anything new for a long time.
A big splash, and I bet you won't see anything until E3. Maybe get a trailer at like the Spike Video Game Awards if they do, you know, like that.
Yeah, when they announce a game that early, that their strategy is so hard coded, it's like, you know, you're not going to break from that like a big blackout period.
Yeah.
Carl, you mentioned working with retail. I don't know that a lot of people know that you basically have to like convince retailers to put your game on their shelves, right?
I think it's not just retail; it's everything. Like, we got to show you guys that the game is
good.
Well,
yeah, right?
So like retail is a huge component.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's one of those components that you just can't underestimate. And I think with so many people and so many titles being pitched on a daily basis, I've been, you know, in the years now with Eidos, I've been to a lot of Walmart and Best Buy and all these different meetings, and I've pitched games, and be amazed at how many games they have to look at in one day. So I think it's about starting early and making sure that they, you know, appreciate sort of the size of what you're building and the time and energy going into it, and that it's about driving awareness. Right, so you know, it's a classic example with Bioshock right now. They're going to be in a perfect position to go to retail, so to say, look at the buzz, here's their metrics, and retail get on early. So, and I think that was something we did with Batman. If you remember, a year before I shipped Batman, I did the promotion with GameStop where we did A Life in Arkham, where we took one lucky winner and put them in, and that was hugely successful because it sort of showed everybody how big Batman was and how eager. And that was after getting the Game Informer cover. So I think retail is such an important factor. That it's about not necessarily how early, but making sure that you hit the right beats. There's certain big shows on during the course of the year that you sit in front of all your retailers, and you need to make sure that you know, you've had something that's been able to sort of drive enough metrics to show them how big the title's going to be before those shows.
Does GameStop is that like the get retailer? Like, do you have to? Is that like the one retailer you want?
No, I think
you really want to get.
I think every, you know, there's obviously the big four, the big five retailers, and you know, I think because it is an exclusive games retailer, then of course that's the one that you make sure that you work a little bit, not a lot harder, but a little bit harder, because it's not that you necessarily want to, but it's about everybody else is, and in order to have that presence, you know, with that retailer, you have to make sure you do something really big and unique and different. Mm. But no, every what's cool is every retailer has its different consumers, and it's about building a plan to those different unique people. Amazon is very different to Best Buy, and Best Buy is very different to GameStop.
Really?
And that's what's cool about what we do. It's about, you know, picking unique promotions and opportunities.
This is Caleb. What's up, guys? I'm 14. I have an issue. I recently bought Halo Reach. Great game. But my dad isn't down with it. He says this will be the last violent game I will get until I'm 17. I personally think this is pretty harsh, because that basically limits me down to Mario and SpongeBob games for the next 3 years.
All right, that's exaggerated.
I know.
You could also play WWE SmackDown.
He says, I'm not a violent person. I'm relaxed. I've never gotten in a fight. I always am good in school. The only violent games I own are the original Bad Company, Alan Wake, and of course Halo. I love me some skate games, a bit of Madden, and some FIFA, but these won't last me for 3 years. So what are your suggestions for getting violent games without going to the store and without my dad knowing?
First off, it sounds like an empty parent threat.
Yeah.
I was once doing bad in math, and my mom was like, I'm going to send you to that Sylvan Learning Center. And I said, if you send me there, I will tank all my grades. I will do it just to spite you.
Yeah. He could also try Gamefly, maybe. If you let your parents sign you up for Gamefly, then you can just get whatever games in the mail, right?
Sure.
Yeah?
Don't support him.
I'm just trying to help out our listener. He wants to play some games, you know?
And I think have a reasonable conversation with your dad.
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong side of the fence to be answering that question.
Yeah.
It's true. This is Devin. I have a little question for you guys. Is it okay that me and my buddy smoke pot and shoot squirrels?
What?
They are rodents and eat at our garden and dig several holes in our yard. They're everywhere you look these days and cause quite the damage. With a little convincing, my parents have given me the okay to take them out, although they obviously don't know we indulge in pot before a good hunting session. We use my BB gun with a red dot sight on it. They don't stand a chance. My girlfriend finds it horrible that we take such pleasure pegging them out of trees, but I sleep well at night. Rest assured, it doesn't affect the amount of... Well, never mind. Anyways... What do you guys think? My dad told me stories about tying a frog to a bottle rocket up in Scotland when he was younger.
Terrible.
Yeah. So I say boys will be boys. I say boys will be boys. Please share your thoughts, as I would love to hear you guys talk about this.
Can a BB gun kill a squirrel? Or
apparently it does.
It can.
I mean, he says he's taking them out.
I'm not into the whole cruelty that animals.
Yeah, that's my problem.
It feels like a real American pastime. That, because I had a friend in Atlanta who I visited probably like 10 years ago, and I remember going out into his back porch, and he had a setup which was phenomenal. Like, you know, the big chair and the beer and the whole lot, and the BB gun sitting on the side, and all the ammunition sitting there.
Yeah.
And he had two or three big trees at the back, and he was like, "This is what I do every evening."
He was also shooting squirrels.
He was also shooting squirrels, but the only problem was he put bait. So
That's
not right. He used to bait.
Like
they
make the garden, I guess, and you know.
That's what I've never really heard of squirrels being like a nuisance though, causing damage.
Have, you know, my parents' place there's a bird feeder, and they climb the bird feeder.
I can see that. Yeah,
that kind of thing. And I suppose the closest thing that we've done, my nephew had a paintball gun, and so you can scare the squirrels away with the paintball. They're not going to kill the squirrels. It's going to scare them away. So I'm not into, you know, shooting them just to kill them off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a gray area. It's something I definitely wouldn't do.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's right.
You're trying to protect your garden, I guess. Yeah. The pot thing I'm fine with.
I don't have a problem with that either. He's trying to justify his shooting squirrels thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we had the same kind of story, but we don't.
I did have a BB gun when I was a kid. I had a pretty couple awesome BB guns. I enjoyed shooting my BB gun, but I didn't shoot animals, you know.
What'd you shoot then?
Like set up cans. Milk cans and milk cartons and stuff. You know.
I have a couple in the office. I'm amazed at how precise they are.
I'm sure they're amazing today.
Now, is it a BB gun or is it an airsoft gun?
I have two BB guns and I have a couple of airsoft. Because whenever people leave, it's, for some reason, it's one of the things people leave behind.
Well, because you can't take it on a plane.
They don't want to go to their new job with a gun. The first thing they do is put it
down. What's up, guys? So.
Try and get that through plane security. Forget it.
Yeah.
This is Chris. He says, I am a faithful listener. Listening to you guys talk about my passion, gaming and knocking boots, makes my workday seem to fly by. So first off, let me thank you guys for taking the time to entertain the masses. We all appreciate the job you guys do a lot. I have a quick professional question. I live in Connecticut and I'm a web developer. I got started in this industry with one goal in mind, to work for a video game company designing the websites for their video games. I've searched the corporate sites of a lot of video game companies, but I rarely find a job posting for their web department. I'm curious if there is another secret spot that you guys know about that would help me get a leg up on the competition, or at least a foot in the door. I can take it from there. I think I know a lot of.
I know a lot of companies do have send it out to third parties.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah. They outsource their web development. Yeah.
Send your resume to me. I'm looking for somebody right
now.
Oh,
you really? Yeah. Excellent.
So there you go. Send it to
Crystal Dynamics.
That's Carl Stewart at Crystal Dynamics. They're looking for a web development. But I do know, like, Sony has a web design firm in San Francisco that they use that David Adams works for.
Founder of GameScoop.
Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of them just use third-party
Nintendo's
companies.
Web development is done in New York. So, but they're internal.
Yeah, okay. But so Crystal Dynamics doesn't... You're looking for someone internally? For the
web development? Yeah, internally. Cool. We still use external agencies for building the bigger thing, but I think with technology moving on so quickly that you need to have somebody in-house who's constantly going to be looking at improvements.
Do you ever shave your armpit hair?
Or trim it? Do you trim it?
No, I can't say I've ever done it. But
I did it last week.
Yeah.
You did? Yeah, I was like brushing my teeth, right? And like I looked.
I decided. I looked down
and I had like a plume of hair. I'm like, well, this is gross. So I just went in and just like trimmed it. I still have armpit hair. I just trimmed it to me a reasonable length. I'm happy with the result.
All right, cool.
Chris,
are you addicted?
No, I haven't done it since. When it looks like buckwheat's popping out of my armpit, I'll do something.
Chris says, I once a few years ago cut down my armpit hair, and I have to say it wasn't very comfortable and do not recommend it. So with all the hairs cut down, they were spiky, and it hurt to put my arms down. So needless to say, I've never worried about the armpit hair since.
Again, so you didn't shave at all.
Exactly. Yeah. He's talking about like shaving, like your stubble on your face.
Yeah, yeah.
I just gave myself a haircut. Your hair ain't spiky.
But Kenny says, back in college, I used to shave my armpit hair all the way. It was because when my girlfriend was staying over, we shared a twin bed, and she would sleep with her head near my armpit.
Yeah.
And I realized that if she were to wake up face deep in pit hair, that would be gross. I shaved as a courtesy. Now that I have a queen-size bed, it's not an issue. And Michael Weir says,
real quick, too, how awful is it to share a twin bed with somebody?
I don't mind it if you're with a girl. When I'm with a girl, I sleep that same way, too. So I would... You're not. That's the only amount of space you're taking up.
Is there a smaller than a twin? Am I thinking?
No, twin is the smallest. I think.
Yeah. Oh man, that was terrible.
Well, you're bigger than me.
I'm Greg Miller.
I know. You need some space.
Yeah, but when you're in college, you don't care whether it's a single bed or a sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah. Michael Weir says, "I absolutely trim mine. Not very often. Maybe a few times a year. A standard beard trimmer with a half-inch attachment works well." He says, "I actually tried shaving them once, but I got careless and sliced my armpit, and it burned like hell when I applied deodorant."
Yeah, I bet. Jeez, dude.
So I had to go a couple days wearing deodorant in only one pit. The joys of modern grooming. So apparently, it's not the weirdest thing in the world to trim your armpit.
Well, I didn't think it was. I was just seeing what the word.
No, I think a back crack and sack probably is weirder than that.
Oh, what now?
Back crack and sack.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm imagining
you got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what it
back,
is.
Back crack and sack.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There
gotcha.
You go.
Gotcha.
Also, Carl. For $1 billion.
No, I've never had a back.
This is a game.
Wait, oh, okay, no? We're bringing this up again?
No, you don't.
I don't know how. I mean.
All right, that's it. That's enough scoops for you, everybody.
I mean, we. I'm trying to size up Carl here.
Carl's cool. That's already sized him up. He's cool.
Good. All right, Kevin.
This is now a we ask every game can, scoop. And this, and Craig needs to answer too, yeah. Seeing as how he wasn't here last week.
All right.
For $1 billion, would you drink?
Carl's never going to come back.
Full of semen.
A bucket?
Yeah.
A bucket?
A bucket full of semen for $1 billion.
Hillary Goldstein and Alex the Intern said they would do it.
Is it my semen?
I would try for sure. No, but everybody's been tested. It's not even the
you
sex.
Do not know where the semen has come from.
But everybody's
it's not. It's not an issue of like...
Is it human semen?
Yes.
Is it human?
Well,
that makes a difference.
Who can do this bucket full?
It's not one
no,
person.
No, I don't think it's possible. I don't think anybody would be able to
Is
do it.
Is it a delicacy in some countries?
I don't know, probably.
Like if it's a delicacy in like
is it fresh?
Ghana, then that's
yeah. Freshly squeezed.
Sure. Freshly squeezed.
Are the people that are responsible for it staring at you?
No. It's a bucket filled $1 billion on the table.
You know, I would probably do it.
I would definitely try.
Like, I just don't think anybody can do it.
That's my thing. I think that's too much liquid. Especially too much
Well,
semen.
Yeah. I mean, like, you do that gallon milk challenge. You can't take down a gallon of milk. It's impossible.
Alex, the intern, was saying he'd spread it out over a few days.
No, see, I don't think you can do that. Yeah,
that's really
not,
bad. Yeah. Like, you're going to the fridge, pull out this 3/4 bucket.
On your cereal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Oh, man. Stop.
And on that note, thank you for joining us, Carlo.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. But that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Carl. Thank My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out. Come get some. Beware.
IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.